bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterville. And now, today's word.
One of the persons who knew how to use words effectively was Abraham. I talked about him when I was talking about calling the things which be not as though they were, walking by faith and not by sight. Romans chapter 4, verse 16-17, it says about Abraham, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, and calls the things which do not exist as though they did." God's word to Abraham was very clear. He said to Abraham, "I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations." I like that phrase. Somebody say, "God has made me." Say it boldly. God has made me. Now, each one of us, God has made us something. For Abraham, is a father of many nations. For you, it may be something else. I've made you prosperous. I've made you victorious. I've made you an achiever. I've made you a builder of cities. I've made you a raiser of generations. I've made you a trainer. I've made you. God has made you something. I've made you a pastor. I've made you a prophet. He said to Jeremiah, "I made you a prophet even before your mother conceived you. I made you." Each one of us have been made by God. God says to Abraham, "I have made you a father of many nations." This is where everything starts. It starts with what God says you are. The power of our words must be rooted in the power of God's word. Now, Abraham comes to God and God says, "Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations." So your name, Abram, meaning exalted father, has been changed. You are now father of many nations. I have made you that. Abraham looks around and says, "From what I checked the last census, I don't have a child. The one I had with Hagar, I've sent them out into exile. They are out of my life. I don't have anything now." God says, "I've made you a father of many nations, but I don't have a child." I've made you. There's something God has made you. He's made you. He's finished it. You say, "But I don't have it." He has done it. I've made you the father of many nations. Now, how could Abraham believe that? What was Abraham going to use to believe that God has made him that when everything around him shows he's not that? And the passage tells us, Abraham knew something about God. And this is what Abraham knew about God. He knew two things about God. First, that God is able to give life to the dead. He's able to give life to the dead. In other words, with God, nothing is hopeless. There's nothing too hard. He knew God is able to give life to the dead. If you're going to believe that you are father of many nations when you have no child, you have to believe that you believe in a God who doesn't see anything as hopeless. There's nothing hopeless. And then the second thing Abraham knew about God is that he calls things which don't exist as though they exist. So God looks at Abraham and says, "You're father of many nations." And Abraham says, "I believe you. I believe you." Why do I believe? Because when you talk about things, you don't talk about the things which are, but the things which will be. When God says, "Let there be light," there was no light before. Nothing like light had ever appeared on the earth. He called the things which be not as though they were. "Let there be light." Boom, light. Where was it before? Nowhere. But God's word will provide it and produce it. He calls the things which be not as though they were. So you can look at that child of yours that came with a report that was very depressing, and you call him president of a nation. Somebody's going to look at you and say, president of what? Are you crazy? No. Because, you know, I read quite a bit. And some of the great people that people admire on this earth don't know how to read. Most of them have dyslexia. It's a reading disorder. They can't read. I won't mention their names, so you laugh at them. They can read. Go and check up. Most people, a lot of big names, can't read. They can't. They see words and the words are jumping in, on the page. You know, it's like juju. The words are jumping on the page. They can't read. Words are jumped. Words are misplaced. I mean, you see was as W-A-S. They see A-S-W. He said, but it's W-A-S. Is he crazy? No, he's not crazy. That's how they see it. A lot of people in the world are like that. But they have managed to reach the highest height of life. Highest height. When I was in middle school, Form 2. Middle school Form 2, which is now JHS 2, I suppose. I had people in my class who couldn't say the alphabet from A to Z. How they managed to be in Form 2, I don't know. But somehow, you know, mass promotion, they just promoted them. Because they IJKL, MOOP, what is it? MOOP. Oh, God, have mercy. And there are people who still say MOOP and become presidents. I mean, sometimes you hear some people story and you say, oh, they're so favored, but give them something to read. They can't read. Give them addition, they can't add. But they have money. How they got it, I don't know. Because they can't add money. They can't add numbers. But all the calculations in their head. You give them 2 plus 2. They can't work it out. But they manage to be successful. Because when God makes you, it has nothing to do with how you look like. I have made you. And Abraham said, yes, sir, I believe it, although I have no evidence, because I know you, that you are able to call the things which be not as though they were. I haven't lived for too long on this planet. I'm just a little bit. And I've seen people who were bad in school become good in life. Carrying the class. I mean, sometimes, you know, you all have classmates. You hear about them and say, eh? This one too, hey! He carried what all of us don't like. All the grades that was excess baggage. He gets it. And then you hear he's in the news. And sometimes people are calling him professor. So, professor what? This one? Yes, sir. I've gone through life. I've seen people who couldn't spell. People with ugly heads. Double head. That everybody laughed at. And look at them. The whole world is hailing them and clapping for them. Because God, when he speaks about you, it's not based on your current reality. He calls the things which be not as though they were. He says, I have made you the father of many nations. I came here this morning to tell somebody, God has already finished. He has made you. He has made you. You are a leader of nations. You are a changer of destiny. You are an influencer of society. You have what it takes to become all that God wants you to be because He has made you. Somebody say, I've been made. Now, what you have to learn is to agree with God. So Abraham, God says, you are now Abraham. He said, yes, sir, I'm Abraham. Now, when you hear the name Abraham, it doesn't mean much to you. But in his days, it just means father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations. And people would laugh behind him and say, father of many nations, father of... Who does he think he's deceiving? But all the people who laughed, we don't even hear of them again. We still talk about Abraham, and he truly has become the father of many nations. His contemporaries who had 10 children, 20 children, 100 children, nobody can find them in history. But he became the father of many nations. And everybody wants to call him Father Abraham. That's our father. God calls the things which be not as though they were. And when he calls you that way, call yourself that way. The grades may fail you, but don't call yourself a failure. The test may fail you, but you are not a failure. You may not get a job at that interview. You are going to get a better one. Don't ever look at the door that is closed. Look at the door that is about to be opened. Don't look at what the devil took away. Look at what God is opening for you and what God is bringing your way. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. It's going to be greater all over your life. Some doors are shut, but some doors are about to be opened. One of the things we have to learn in life is that God calls things which do not exist as though they exist. He calls cowards mighty men. When you are one, he calls you a thousand. When you are poor, he calls you rich. When you are cast away, he calls you accepted. When you are a sinner, he calls you saved. When you are empty, he calls you full. He calls the things which be not as though they were. Finally, when you are faced with battles in life, what should you say? How do we face the battles of life? Because life is going to give you battles. There are people who go through life saying, I don't like trouble. Oh, trouble will like you. I don't want trouble. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want trouble. Trouble will find you. Even when you are running away, it will chase you. There will be battles in life. There will be battles in life. It's part of the routine of life. Life is not just one smooth movement. There will be battles. There will be struggles. There will be challenges. There will be things you have to deal with. Sometimes it's in your marriage. Sometimes it's in a relationship. Sometimes, well, somewhere or the other. There will be a battle you have to deal with. And how do you go into battle? What should you be saying when life starts throwing challenges at you? I'm going to show you four things you should say whenever you are in a battle. The first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 42 to 47. When David is going into battle with Goliath, he says, I come in the name of the Lord. Somebody say, I come in the name of the Lord. The Bible says when the Philistine, that's Goliath, looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine says to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? The Philistine cursed David by his gods, and the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. The Philistine, Goliath said, come to me. David said, yes, sir, I'm coming. Come face me. Yes, I'm not running away. I'm coming to face you. but I come in the name of the Lord. I don't come in my own capacity. I don't come in my own name. I don't come with my limitations. I come in the name of the Lord. Know that whenever you get into battle as a child of God, you have God on your side. You come in His name. Second thing you must say when you are in battle, you must be able to say, the Lord is with me to fight for me. The Lord is with me to fight for me. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 to 4. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Whenever you get into battle, you must be able to say, the Lord is with me to fight for me. He goes with me to fight for me against my enemies to save me. I come in the name of the Lord, and the Lord is with me to fight for me. Never ever go into that battle thinking, oh, I will do my possible best. Yes, that's natural. But what you have to always say, the Lord is with me and the Lord will fight for me. I come in the name of the Lord. The Lord is with me and the Lord will fight for me. Third thing you must say when you are in battle, it's in Joel chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. You have to say, I am strong. And this is what it says. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. When you get into battle, don't say, I'm tired. I'm tired of this battle. I'm tired of this situation. You are not tired, and stop crying. Nobody wants to see your tears. Keep it to yourself. Let the weak say, I am strong. God says when you feel weak, don't say I'm weak, say I'm strong. I am coming in the name of the Lord. The Lord will fight for me and save me, and I am strong. Somebody said, Pastor, but I don't feel strong. Yeah, that's why you are saying I'm strong. The strong don't say I'm strong. The strong keep quiet. If you're strong by yourself, keep it for yourself. But for us who trust in the Lord, we know our weaknesses and we know our strength too. And when we are weak, we say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Sometimes people would look at you and say, why are you talking big like that? We know you. You have no money. Yeah, I know. I am naming my animals. I am naming them. You choose to call it poverty, I call it prosperity. You call it failure, I call it success. You call it weakness, I call it strength. Let the weak say, I am strong. Somebody say, I am strong. And the final thing you say when you get into battle, you should be able to say, I am well able to overcome. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. I am well able to overcome. I will overcome. I will prevail. I will come out with a testimony. I will come out with a song. I will come up on top. I'll come up rising. I don't know what battles you are dealing with, but you have to learn to speak the words of the victorious one in battle. I come in the name of the Lord. The Lord will fight for me and save me and deliver me. I am strong. I am well able to overcome it. Whatever life hits at you, let these words stay in your mouth. Whatever life throws at you, don't go and sit in your corner crying. There are people who love to cry. And they love people to come and pat them on the back. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. And then they leave you. As if it's okay will solve your problem. It's okay, don't worry. It will solve your problem. Patting of your back won't solve your problem. When you are in a trouble, you don't need somebody to pat your back. Already you are suffering. It's now going to hit you too at your back. No. When you are in trouble, you need to be sure that you will have victory. And the way to have victory, the first way, is to change your language. Stop talking destruction to yourself. Stop talking yourself down. Oh, I don't have anybody. I don't have any helper. The Lord is my helper. Nobody likes me. The Lord likes you. This thing is too hard. There is nothing too hard for him. You have to change your language. Start speaking like a child of God. Not a child of your mama. Or a child of your papa. Speak like a child of God. Your true father. Learn from him. Call the things which be not as though they were. And you will realize that your words begin to empower you first. Before even the situation changes. Your words will create your environment. If you're going to walk as a child of God, you have to harness the power of words. Speak with intentionality. Don't just talk, you know, people are talking, they say, Ghana is hard, Ghana is hard. Hey, we can't make it in Ghana. If you start talking that way, you can't make it in Ghana before you realize you're across the Sahara Desert. Where are you going? I can't make it, I'm going. Now, if you can't make it in Ghana, how can you make it in the Sahara Desert? Between Ghana and the Sahara Desert, which is harder? Which is harder? Where you people say that they drink kerosene with water. You can face that, but you can't face this. The problem is in your head. It's the attitude. Let the weak say, I am strong, I am well able, and I believe in this land you will prosper. In this land you will make it. In this land you will buy the things that God wants you to buy. In this land you'll be the head and not the tail. You will prosper, you will abound, you'll be in good health because you are a child of God. I come in the name of the Lord. The Lord will help me. The Lord will help me to overcome. I am strong in the Lord. And I will prevail. We are well able to overcome this. And I pray that God will give you a new vocabulary. A champion's vocabulary. A conqueror's vocabulary. You will not speak like a defeated person. You speak like a successful person. You talk like an overcoming person. You talk like somebody who is going somewhere. And God will give you victory in every battle. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen to me carefully. Everything I've said is possible only because of one thing. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. He makes it all possible. When he's in your heart, he makes a difference. When he is in your heart, he transforms you. The power is not just in your mouth. It must be first in your heart. And in your heart, there must be power. The only way for power to be in your heart is for Christ to be in your heart, for him to be in your spirit, for him to come and live inside you. That is when the word of God becomes powerful to you, because he's the word. He's the word become flesh. So this morning, if you are here and you don't have Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, then everything I've said will not work for you. But when Jesus comes into your life, then everything I've said becomes a reality in your life, because he is the one who makes it all possible. If you are here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my heart. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be saved. I want to make it to heaven. If that's your desire, I want you to think carefully, because I'm going to ask you to do something that will bring you eternal life and bring you salvation. If you are here and you want Jesus to come into your heart, you want your sins to be forgiven, you want to be born again, you want to be a child of God, if that is your desire, then I'm going to ask you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. If that's your desire, lift up your right hand. God bless you. I see some hands up. God bless you. God bless you. If you want Jesus in your heart, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. The whole church is going to pray this prayer together as we help these men and women make a decision for Jesus Christ. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I come to you today just as I am. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I ask you, Father, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. I give you my life and I open my heart to you. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Change me. Make me a new person. From today, I make a public declaration before this congregation, before heaven, that I have given my life to Jesus Christ. I surrender to you. You are my everything. You are my all. Lord Jesus, from today, I will serve you all the days of my life. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.